Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the one true God, fill this place this morning with your grace, so we can stand firm in the faith till life everlasting. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week, I came across an interesting article, as an interesting perspective about today's worship music. It was an interview with Keith Getty. If you don't know Keith Getty by name, you most likely know some of his worship hymns he's writing. Yes, he's writing worship hymns. He's not writing praise songs, he's writing worship hymns. One of the ones we've sung here many times is In Christ Alone. We've sung that numerous times these past several years. In the interview, Keith Getty spoke about how modern worship songs are different than hymns, and how the modern worship songs are full of emotionalism rather than making sure they teach sound doctrine and scriptural truths. Worship songs are more about how you feel, less about what the Word of God declares. And Keith Getty's perspective is this tendency has led to a generation unable to understand or defend the Christian faith. He goes on to state too much of today's songs are full of catharsis and focus on the things of the earth that seek cultural relevance. Instead, things need to begin with that authentic picture of God of the Bible. Comparing worship songs of today to the great hymns of the faith, the focus is vastly different. The great hymns of the faith speak of eternity, of heaven, of hell, and the peace we have with God. Yet less than 5%, according to Keith Getty, less than 5% of modern worship songs speak about these things, in particular about eternity. What Keith Getty wants to do and bring together is music, theology, and good artistry in that music. You know what? That's no different than what Martin Luther did. He brought theology and good music together with artistry. And those hymns we have been singing for generations, they have been sung across the years. That's what Martin Luther did in the Reformation. For the hymns that Luther wrote, the hymns of the faith, were written for a specific purpose, and that was teaching the faith. The faith that the Reformation was now bringing again to the people with the focus on justified by grace through faith in Christ alone. The hymns that were wrote were so the people would sing the faith, and by singing the faith, they would learn the doctrines of the faith, especially the doctrines the Reformation was bringing forth again from the Word of God. It was bringing the church back to the revealed scriptures. How? By singing the doctrines of the faith. The great hymn of the faith we've sung for generations. They survived the generations. But I ask you, which of the modern worship songs will stand the test of time? A few will. Most you won't be singing a year from now. 2 years? How about 50 years from now? But yet, the great hymns of the faith that teach the doctrines of the faith will be singing until Christ comes again. That's the difference. What songs will stand the test of life? The stresses of life, when the only thing you have to hold on to is the Word of God. There is a time coming when the world will be different than it is now. Just as the world of today and the culture of today is different than what many of the culture was like when you were growing up. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, how high can I count? 80 years ago, 87 years ago, can I keep going higher? I sure I can. Almost 100 years ago, it's different. You and I know it. And all through those times, we're singing the hymns of the faith. But the culture has been changing around us.
and the end times. They're coming. I can see it. Can you see it? You can see it in the people. You can see it in the schoolyards. You can see it on television. What goes for good television today is vastly different than Father Knows Best or Leave It to Beaver or Dennis the Menace, or you can back up even more. It's vastly different. You see what's happening. It's human. Humanness is coming out. And the things of God are being forgotten. There is a time that the end of the world will come that Jesus speaks about in the Gospels. There will be pain and suffering. There will be wars and rumors of war. We're getting glimpses of those things today. And it happens because of human nature. There is sin in each of us. And that sin in the human nature will bring about those things that Jesus describes in Luke chapter 21. Look at what we have done to each other over the course of human history. How humans have treated each other. How for land we go to war. How for other things, for spite, we do things. We seek vengeance. That's the sin in us. The disciples, they're walking about, they're talking about the temple stones and the wonderful beauty that is around them. And then they're speaking about the gifts, the consecrated gifts that were exceedingly abundant at this Passover time. It's as if the lesson of the widow that just came before this was forgotten. They just heard about the widow. The poor widow who gave two very small copper coins, the smallest of offerings possible, while others were just pouring out of their abundance. The disciples are commenting on the abundance, missing that the widow gave her all. She gave her life, her heart, her all. And they don't see it. They see the stones. They see the consecrated gifts, and they don't understand. It's the heart. The lesson slipped their mind. It's not about the building. It's not about the consecrated gifts. It's not about them all. Rather, it's about the one who is worshipped there, the living God. A time is coming when those very stones they're gazing at and beholding and marveling at the appearance, those very stones will be toppled. They will be thrown down. Jesus is saying about the time that will come when the temple will be destroyed. This statement startles the disciples, prompting them to ask, when will this happen? What will these signs be? They're having a hard time believing. You know, this temple will be thrown down? Jesus begins first with, watch out, take heed, meaning to spiritually discern what is happening. Pay attention and discern. See what is taking place in the physical world, but use your spiritual insight, because the things that are taking place in the physical world are a glimpse of the understanding of what is taking place in the spiritual realms. Discern. Thereby discerning aright so as not to be led astray and wander away into sin. That word wander there is the root word that we get the word planets from. You know, the word planet simply means wandering giant. So don't wander from the faith. Discern the times rightly. Are you equipped with the doctrine of God to be able to discern the times rightly? Wars, revolutions will come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Earthquakes, famines, pestilence, fearful events, great signs from heaven. All these will come. Will you have the ability to discern them rightly? One of the things we can place in this category is global warming. The predictions of the 1980s have failed to happen. So they had to come up with a new name. It's now called climate change. And it's now espousing the same dire predictions. Do you have the ability to discern what is behind these things? Especially in the past week, as this record cold has crumbled records that have stood for more than 170 years. or as long as we recorded temperatures in some places? Jesus said, discern, so you won't be led astray. Do not be afraid, Jesus also said. But yet all these dire predictions are about raising fear in people. Jesus says, do not be afraid. Jesus then turns his attention to what will happen to the believers in Luke chapter 21. The culture around them will lay their hands upon you. They will persecute you. The Greek word here used for persecute means to aggressively change like a hunter pursuing a catch. Don't you dare be a climate denier. Don't you dare go about the alphabets or whatever it means, whatever sexuality you are, the alphabet, don't you dare go against that cultural thing. They will hunt you down. They will persecute. That's what this word means. They will chase after you like a hunter chasing after its prey, after its catch. This is going on. Discern. Do you have the doctrine of God in you so that you can discern? Or is your faith based on your feelings of the moment? Well, feelings can guide you wrong. Think back when you were younger and you had your first puppy love. Were you right or were you wrong about that first puppy love? Feelings can guide you in wrong directions. But the doctrine that's based on the Word of God, that's what helps you stand firm and to be able to discern what's going around you. They will persecute you. That Greek word, persecutes, chase after you like they want to catch you. We see this. You read it in the newspaper over these past years. How have bakers of cakes been treated? How have photographers been treated? Or florists, or wedding chapels, or reception halls? They've been pursued for daring to remain faithful to what the Word of God says marriage is. And we see the action of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in their pursuit of believers who desire to express their faith in the public square. And look at what Antifa is doing and the violence they're bringing to all their various places they are. The times are coming where in the West we will see what is happening in the East, imprisoned for the faith. The communist revolution in China under Mao brought such persecution, it was to levels unheard of, and the Christians were one of the prime targets. And that persecution continues. The underground church is continued to be persecuted. Even the above-ground church, the crucifixes are being torn off the church buildings. The church buildings are being destroyed. People are being sent to re-education camps. And more than that, in the authorized church, the persecution continues. Beside the crucifix in the authorized churches, you'll find pictures of Mao and Z. Right there in the worship service, you'll find slogans for the state-sanctioned churches hanging in the places of the churches, on the walls, on the doors. The doors, the entrance to the doors say, listen to the words of the party. Follow the path of the party. This is what's happening to our brothers and sisters in Christ in China. This is part of the church that's also being, if you haven't heard this word before, it's sinicize. S-I-N-I-C-I-Z-E. Sinicize. They sinicize the Bible. Sinicize simply means to make Chinese. To do this, to sinicize the Bible will be fused with Buddhist and Confucius teachings. So teachings from Buddha, teachings from Confucius will be used and infused in the Bible. And interpretations of the Old Testament will be retranslated. Commentaries for the New Testament will be rewritten so that the Christianity will be changed into a Chinese Christianity. So the Bible would reflect Chinese ethics of Confucianism and socialism. Quoting, incorporating the Chinese elements into church worship, services, hymns, songs, clergy attire, the architectural style of buildings. This sinicized Chinese Christianity, it's not the Christian faith anymore. That's what's happening in the East. Well, that's coming West. Can you stand for what it means to be faithful? Chaste before marriage, faithful in marriage, man and woman, husband and wife. And it goes on from there. Can you even pray in public? Pray before football games, pray after football games. Can you do those things? You see what's happened. The Christian pastors in China who are withstanding the pressure and contend for the Christian faith, they prepared a statement standing for the faith. And in the statement, the pastors go on to say they are prepared to bear all losses, even the loss of our freedom and our lives for the sake of the gospel. Jesus says that this persecution will result in believers being witness to them, witnesses. So the persecution that comes is an opportunity to witness. But you need to have those doctrines of faith well established in you so you can witness well. And at the same time, you trust the Holy Spirit. What this Jesus is saying right here is exactly what happened in Paul's life. He was imprisoned in Jerusalem, and eventually he traveled all the way to Rome. And all along the way, Paul had many opportunities to be a witness for Jesus. Did Paul change what he said because he was suffering? No. He proclaimed it even more boldly. The opportunity to be a witness. Luke chapter 21, beginning of verse 13. This will result in you being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Persecutions will come. See them as Christ working through you. And they won't answer your arguments. Instead, they'll start calling you names, pejoratives, to demean you. They will not address the arguments of the faith that you share. They will dismiss you by saying you're no longer relevant. Still witness. Several years ago, this took place in Germany. In the middle of a Muslim-Christian interfaith prayer concert, a woman arose and she proclaimed the truth, Jesus Christ is Lord. This interfaith event was taking place in the Memorial Church of the Reformation in Rhineland, city of Speyer. A church had been built in Speyer to commemorate the defense of the evangelical faith that took place in Speyer. And in this memorial hall, there stands a bronze likeness of Martin Luther. And Martin Luther stands there with the Bible open in his left hand and his right hand in a fist. And his foot is stomping on the papal bull of excommunication. So this church was built to honor the Reformation defense of the faith that took place in Speyer. It's a historical memorial. And there around Luther are Luther's words. Around that statue of Luther are Luther's words from the Diet of Worms, where he says, "Here I stand. I can do nothing else. God help me. Amen." So in this historic place where the faith was defended years before, this historical monument to the faith being defended, an interfaith prayer concert was taking place. And a part of that, an imam stood to begin the call of prayer, the Muslim call of prayer. This woman had to stand. "Here I stand, I can do no other." She rose and proclaimed, "Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord over Germany. Jesus Christ is Lord." She was taken out. People didn't understand. This is supposed to be a prayer concert for peace. Why are you disrupting it? Well, what harm can there be with an imam using a Muslim call of prayer inside this church that defended the faith of the Reformation? Do you understand what's taking place when a call of prayer is happening? These two things are taking place. This is what Islam understands, that wherever the call of prayer has been proclaimed, that ground has now been taken and claimed by Islam. The other thing is that is the very same words, that call of prayer words, are the very same words the terrorists use to shout as they commemorate, as they commence their plans of destruction. So here, this church, memorial church built to honor the Reformation, the reformers of the faith, here I stand, I can do no other, Martin Luther. You now have a prayer proclaimed that is anything but the Christian faith.
Just recently, soil from the Amazon and soil from India was brought to the Vatican Prayer Garden. And in the Vatican Prayer Garden, a tree planting ceremony took place. The observers to that ceremony clearly recognized it as an indigenous pagan ritual from the Amazon jungle. Yes, that took place in the Vatican Gardens. Their understanding, oh no, let's all come together, let's bring peace. Can you discern what is happening? Do you know of the doctrines of the Christian faith to understand so you're not deceived? Oh, we're just being nice. All religions are the same. You hear that? You worship your God. I worship my God. All gods are the same. Is that true? Does the doctrines of the faith say that true? No, it's not true. There is one God, Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is his only begotten Son. And there's one Spirit in the Trinity, three in one. Discern, discern. And these things are happening to show you what is in our hearts. We are rebellious by nature. We are sinful. We want to do things our own way. And what these things in our culture around us are showing us, how much we need a Savior, how much we need a Redeemer. Luke chapter 21, verses 16 and 17. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me. The pressure to conform. The pressure will come from family. The pressure of possibly being incarcerated and put to death. That will cause you. What will you do? Will you stand firm in the faith? Will you be able to do as the martyrs did as they were facing the Roman Colosseum all those years ago? What will you do? Stand firm. You can stand firm. Luke chapter 21, verse 19. By standing firm, you will gain life. This is verse 19, word from the Greek. By the patient endurance of you, you will gain the souls of you. This patient's endurance means to remain under. And it has that understanding that God enables the believer to remain under the pressure and face the challenges because the faith is there. The pressure to conform to this culture, it is growing. It is getting harder and harder to remain steadfast in the Christian faith. But you, each one of you, will be able to remain under the pressure and keep the faith. That's what it means here. By staying under the pressure and keeping the faith, you will gain, you will obtain, you will possess what the faith promises. You will possess eternal life. You will preserve your soul. In other words, salvation is yours. Standing firm in the midst of all these cultural pressures, you will have the salvation that is promised and written about in our Psalm 98. The salvation that comes from God, and our response is joy and praise. But is it promised that everything will be hunky-dory and fine good life? Actually, here in Luke 21, it says it's going to get worse. What are you going to do if your feelings say it's not worth it? Will your faith say it is worth it? I don't like what's taking place. Will your faith be able to stand firm? Luke chapter 21, verse 28. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Discerning and keeping the faith. It's about the salvation of souls.
And if you conform to the culture and conform to the pressures of this world, what does that mean for the salvation of souls in the next generation? Will they hear the faith? Will they sing the hymns of the faith? Or will they go on feelings of catharsis and wanting to fit in with the culture? Redemption is about Christ and Christ alone. There is no other on whose name we must be saved. Salvation is only in Christ. And the world around you, the culture around you, will press you and tempt you to conform to their ways and thoughts. But you can do as Luther did. Luther stood firm and said and lived, "My conscience is captive to the Word of God." Luther's life and heart were held by the Word of God. God's Word must be followed, whatever the cost, as our Chinese brothers and sisters in Christ have said. They will stand firm. What about you? Will you have the ability to stand firm in the faith? Or will you let your feelings carry you from moment to moment? It's a challenging question. We want the joy, want everything to go well. But you know from the past couple weeks, the heartache that can come. But you will still stand firm in the faith because Christ is Lord and Redeemer and Savior. And you'll stand firm in the faith no matter what because you know the prize will be yours of eternal life with Christ and the living God. So discern. Discern. Is what's going on of God, or is it going on of this world? The compromising of the doctrines of the Christian faith is compromising with this world, and it is not of God. Standing firm for the truth of the Word of God is of God. Discern that. Know that. Live it. That's why we sing the hymns of faith, and that's why we also choose carefully the theology that's being taught by the praise songs we sing when we do praise style services. Does it teach the faith rightly? Because it's about salvation. The salvation that comes from God alone. Stand firm and win life means that no matter what comes at you, you will hold firmly to the truth that God is God. And Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross to redeem our sins. And the Holy Spirit is given us who believe, who are children of God, to be able to stand firm no matter what may come. It's going to get more challenging. When? I don't know. But Christ says here in Luke 21, the signs of the end of the age, these things are coming. But he also says, stand up, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. So stand firm and win life. Stand firm in the faith. Your redemption is near. Amen.